This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Wednesday as we set aside politics for this hour and we go ahead and step back into history. We get ready to do the Siege of Malta, part two. I'm hoping I'll make it the final part of the Siege of Malta and then final hour, we're going to have Selena Zito, and we'll do emails, and we'll talk about commies infiltrating your business and all kinds of other things. And I wanted to remind you, tomorrow is Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday, because I am out on Friday, so you got to email your questions in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, the 30-second recap you're going to get from last night is the Knights of St. John. They're given a horrible windswept rock known as Malta, right underneath Sicily. They begin fortifying it. There are four locations on it. They're fortifying the Ottoman Empire. The Muslim Empire is growing. They are taking over things. They've taken Constantinople. Christian/Catholic Europe is petrified of the coming Muslim storm. And the Ottomans, having let the Knights of St. John go once before, have had enough of their raiding and pillaging in the Mediterranean, and they land a 30,000-man force on Malta, and they began to assault Fort Number 1. It's called Fort St. Elmo. Now, in this Fort St. Elmo, there's roughly 1,000 men. They are not all knights, trained, born and bred warriors at all. There are some knights. There are some other soldiers. So they're not all completely, you know, untrained. And then there are civilians inside of the Fort St. Elmo. Now let's talk about the Ottoman forces. They have cannons, obviously. So both sides have cannons. This is the era of cannons and muskets. The Ottomans not only have cannons, they have a bunch of regular troops, and they also have elite troops. Now, think about them like this is their special forces types. They're called Janissaries. If you know anything about the Ottoman Empire, you will know for a very long time they have had tip-of-the-spear troops called Janissaries. Now, I want to pause for a second because this will apply to way more than this story. This applies to any military engagement you ever read about or learn about. We obsess over numbers. We obsess over numbers. They have so many thousand here, and he has 50,000, and they have 20,000, and they have 100,000, and they have but all troops are not the same, not at all. There are widely, widely different levels of training and experience and equipment. Just because there are 30,000 Ottomans and only, you know, 700 knights on the island does not mean there are 30,000 trained, equipped, capable Ottomans who are lions on the battlefield. It does not mean that at all. The Janissaries, however, are trained, equipped lions, highly, highly experienced. And there's not that many of them because you can't make that many of them here. The numbers I read differed wildly. A lot of people say there are in total about 6,000 of the 30,000 Ottomans were Janissaries. That number doesn't matter. These little details are not important. Just know there are only so many of them. And then when they're gone, when they're dead, you're back to fairly pedestrian regular troops. And on the other side as well, you know, we said there are 700 knights. Some people say 500. Again, details don't matter. But there are other regular troops. Some. Not many, but some. But they're not knights. They're not guys who live and die for this. Now, Fort St. Elmo, I used Pac-Man as an example last night to try to explain the geography of what you're looking at here. And in Pac-Man's mouth, obviously, is water. It's a great harbor. But Pac-Man's nose is Fort St. Elmo. It is not some impregnable fortress. The knights did know they were coming, and they did build up the fortifications, but it is not an impregnable fortress. The Ottomans, they get their cannons down, and as I pointed out last night, they began to dig trenches towards the fort. Trenches are not built in a straight line, remember? You have to zigzag in order to give your troops cover as they inch their way towards the wall. I mentioned earlier, this is a rocky, miserable island. And right now it's hot. This island is south of Sicily. We're in the month of July. It's hot. Here's the unsexy part of so many battles. So many battles. Water. You have to have it. This is hard work. Think about the daily life of the Ottoman soldier or slave. They had many, many slaves, as I pointed out. You are chipping and chopping away at rock. You need food and you need water. Even if you don't care about the lives of your slaves, and that's oftentimes how slaves are treated, you still don't want them to die. You need them digging. You have to feed them. You have to give them water. And it's an island surrounded by salt water. And there's not much water on the island. And guess what else? I didn't tell you this last night. There are sources of fresh water on the island, wells. Do you know what the knights did? What Dave Allette, he's the leader of the knights, do you know what he did before the Ottomans got there? He took dead animals and dropped them into all the freshwater sources that were outside of the fort. Obviously, as you've just figured out, now that water is rotten. Your men can't touch it or your men will get sick and die. It is a race against time. Every single siege always is a race against time for both sides. The people inside only have so much water, only have so much ammo, only have so much food. The people outside only have so much water, only have so much ammo, only have so much food. The Ottomans start chopping away and chipping away with these trenches, inching closer and closer and closer to Fort St. Elmo. But sieges are not always static things. This is a talk we have about politics all the time. You can't just hide behind your walls. If they're pounding on your walls or almost ready to start pounding on your walls, you are going to have to sally forth. You are going to have to leave your walls and go try to fight them off, keep them off of the walls. And they are doing this. They're riding out from St. Elmo when they can, usually at night. They're trying to kill as many Ottomans. They're attacking the trenches, as you can imagine. So you have those trench workers. Think what terrible luck this would be. You get stuck on trench duty. You're hot. You're thirsty. You're tired. Your back hurts. You're chopping away at rock all day. And you look up in time to see a knight riding down on you, shoving a sword into your face. It is up close. It is personal. And it is a war of hatred. But the lines continue to get closer and closer to Fort St. Elmo. Now, the cannons have gotten close enough to Fort St. Elmo. They start knocking the walls down. But here's the problem. They're hitting the top of the walls, and they are knocking the mid to top of the walls down. But you can't send your troops over if it's just the top of the walls down. You are going to have to send troops into the walls. You've got to attack the foundation. Now along comes one of the real, allegedly great leaders of the Ottomans. Dragut is his name. Don't worry about remembering that. His nickname stands for, tell me how cool this is, the Drawn Sword of Islam. That's kind of cool, right? You got to be honest. That's kind of cool. And I know no one's rooting for the Ottomans right now, but that's kind of a cool nickname. Dragut notices the cannons are not firing right. He's a hands-on type. You don't earn the nickname Drawn Sword of Islam because you sit on your hands. And so he charges up to the Ottoman lines to say, hey, idiots, lower the cannons. We have to hit the foundation. We have to hit the bottom of the walls to drop it. Good for Dragut. But there is a reason many militaries don't send their commanders out like this. Dragut catches a bullet in the back. Allegedly, no one will ever know for sure from his own troops. By the way, some people say the head, some people say the back. It was an accident, Chris. It was an accident. He goes back to his lines, mortally wounded, and dies 5 days later. Now you have a morale problem for the Ottomans. Pause on this. We'll continue in a moment. Before we continue, let's save a life. There's always time to set aside fun and set aside politics and set aside $28 to save a baby that can't save itself. These stories, you ever read any of these testimonials from preborn? These young ladies who are getting ready to kill their baby and they walk into one of these preborn clinics. They get a free ultrasound and she makes the choice. She's afraid. She makes the choice. She chooses life. But then preborn loves on her. They give her love. They give her diapers. They give her formula. They give her care. They teach her about the gospel. And then they're so happy because they're raising their baby. That's what you do when you partner with preborn. And it's tax deductible. You get to deduct this on your taxes. Go to preborn.com/Jesse and give what you can. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by preborn. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday, a hump day. If you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday tomorrow. Get your questions emailed in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So the Ottomans are inching closer to Fort St. Elmo. Pac-Man's nose, right? And I already mentioned his mouth is full of water. It's the Great Harbor. And I told you last night that you need to picture two teeth coming out the bottom part of his jaw, towards the back of his jaw. Those are peninsulas controlled by the knights, fortified peninsulas. The reason I bring this up is this. Maybe you've been wondering, if you're the Ottomans, you have all these ships with cannons and things like that on them. Why don't you just sail the ships into the Great Harbor and start shooting at Fort St. Elmo from the other side? Well, remember, the knights have cannons too, and those two teeth, which we will get to, there's fortifications on there. You can't just sail your ships into the Great Harbor and start firing at Fort St. Elmo, because then those two teeth are going to start firing their cannons at your ships. Here's a little foreshadowing, which is going to happen anyway. And you are going to lose your ships. Keep this in mind. The Ottomans are not home. The Ottomans are a long way from home. They are currently south of what is now Sicily. They have to, when this is over, get all the way back to what is now Istanbul. That's a long sail, and you need boats. So they have to keep inching their way towards Fort St. Elmo. Now, they do. It is a hard, brutal slog, but they finally find themselves at the walls of Fort St. Elmo. They start knocking holes in the walls of Fort St. Elmo. Big ones, walls their troops can pour through. In fact, not only can their troops pour through them, they're knocking down outer walls and they're bringing their cannons up and now shooting cannons practically point blank at the inner walls. What's happening inside of Fort St. Elmo? Couple different things. They are charging forward whenever there is a gap in the wall and there is brutal, vicious, hand-to-hand, sword and spear combat where bodies are stacking up inside of the gaps. When they are not in the gaps at night, I told you there were civilians inside of Fort St. Elmo. Everybody, including the civilians, they're grabbing mattresses, curtains, whatever you can grab to throw it in the gap that was just created for when the Ottomans come back the next day. And know this, everybody by now, everyone in the fort, both sides, they know Fort St. Elmo is going to fall. At this point in time, the Knights, they send somebody across the harbor to Dave Ouellette. In fact, Dave Ouellette sent someone to them too. Dave Ouellette sends someone to them, the Knights across the harbor, and they say, hey, we can't hold this fort anymore. Can we abandon it now? Can we abandon it and come to the other? Can we come down to the teeth? Can we come down to the other fortifications? Dave Ouellette tells them, no, you have to stay. Why? Was he just a jerk? He may have been a jerk. I don't know. But every day the Ottomans were being occupied with taking Fort St. Elmo, the fortifications on the two teeth were getting bigger and stronger and better. Bigger and stronger and better. And Dave Ouellette needed Fort St. Elmo to hold out as long as humanly possible. He essentially ordered them to die. Now, the fighting continues and it's bad and it's ugly and people are dying on both sides. Eventually, Fort St. Elmo does fall. This was something the Ottomans needed to happen in a few days. It took them a month to take what should have been a few days. You're running out of food, you're running out of water, and more importantly, remember those Janissaries I brought up, the Ottoman elite troops? You took one of the forts and you lost half your Janissaries. By the time it's done, the Ottomans have lost roughly 6,000 of their men and the Knights have lost about 1,000 out of about the 3,000 they have. Yes, they lost Fort St. Elmo. The Knights did. It was unbelievably costly for the Ottomans. You can argue, I would disagree, but you can argue as of this point right now, the Ottomans have already lost the Siege of Malta. They lost too many of their elite troops. They lost too much time, too much food, too much water, too many cannonballs. You should probably pack it up and head out. That's not an option. As you can probably imagine, if you're an Ottoman commander, you really don't want to cruise on back across the ocean and tell Suleiman the Magnificent that your 30,000 troop expedition is a huge failure and you were unable to dislodge those pesky Christians. That's a good way to find your head on a spike. So now that you have Fort St. Elmo, you have to go take the two teeth. Sanglia and Burgo, that's what we're going to call them. Sanglia and Burgo. They have forts on them that are called, we're just going to make it simple. Sanglia and Burgo, that's where we go next. Before we go there, I bet the Ottomans wish they had had a way to replace their fallen general, but there was no ZipRecruiter back then. If there had been, you could have immediately gotten online to ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse, and instead of having 1,000 wannabe generals to choose from, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology would sift through all the garbage generals and find you the best ones. That's why 4 out of 5 employers find somebody great on the very first day. Let ZipRecruiter help you in a way they couldn't help the Ottomans. You don't have to wait months. You don't have to sift through 1,000 resumes. They'll find you someone good quickly so you can get back to the business of business. Don't get stuck like the Ottomans did. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. All right? We continue. Next.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yes, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday, setting aside politics, talking some more Siege of Malta. Now, let's get right back into it. The Ottomans have taken Fort St. Elmo. Remember I told you in the beginning there were 4 fortified locations on this island. Number one is gone. Now they have to worry about the teeth. I told you this island, you need to picture it like Pac-Man. In the mouth is the Great Harbor, and Pac-Man has 2 gigantic teeth in his bottom jaw. These are peninsulas that jut out into the Great Harbor, and they are fortified. There are civilians here. There are the rest of the knights here. They have been building fortifications and preparing for a long time for these Ottomans to come. Remember I said before, if you're the Ottomans, you can't just sail your boats right into the harbor because the fortifications are going to blow your boats out of the water. But if you're the Ottomans, you understand your boats are a force multiplier. They can carry troops. They have cannons on them. You need your boats into the tonsils, essentially. You need to get your boats into the harbor, but you can't bring them in through the mouth. What to do? What to do? Well, this is something the Ottomans have done before. History nerds will know this. It's part of what they did at the siege of Constantinople. The Ottomans were wonderful engineers, and they were really great at combat. They figured out how to haul gigantic boats over the land, and they do. Picture how unbelievably labor-intensive it would be. No construction equipment, right? There's no engine. They hauled their boats, essentially Pac-Man's forehead. They hauled it down over Pac-Man's forehead and landed their boats back by Pac-Man's tonsils. Now they have their fortifications. Okay, so let's go over to the teeth. I told you the teeth are jutting out the bottom of Pac-Man's jaw. These are the 2 bottom peninsula fortifications. The Ottomans bring their cannons and their troops over land, and they start doing the same thing to these peninsulas they started doing to Fort St. Elmo, digging in, trenches, cannons, and they start bombarding the place. The Ottomans now, I'm not going to say desperate at all, but they're looking at the clock. And this is going to be important for our purposes here. It's not just food and water that's presenting problems for them. Back in the day, we don't think about this as much now, but sea travel back in the day, the day of sail, the day of the oar, was very, very seasonal. When the weather got bad in the Mediterranean, when it got cold, when winter came, the winds were not right. The waves were not right. You couldn't just hop on the water anytime you wanted to hop on the water and just go sail wherever you wanted. It didn't work that way. Yeah, the siege started in the summer. It's closing in on fall. Because of this, the Ottomans have to take some chances they probably wouldn't otherwise take. They bring the boats in, and they decide they're going to try something. The troops that are underneath the teeth, they're going to try to throw them at the walls while at the same time doing a landing using the boats, doing an amphibious landing using the boats by the back tooth, essentially. By the back tooth. They try it. They think things are going well. Things would have been going well. But there was something they didn't quite plan on. The boats, the Knights, like I said, they had been making preparations. Part of those preparations were they had been putting up underwater spikes and stakes in anticipation of the Ottomans coming to do it, coming to do exactly what they were going to do. The boats can't get all the way to the beach. They stall out in the water. Now you're unloading your troops and they're wading in under fire and they're dying in droves. They're dying in the water. They're dying on the beaches. Honestly, they need to make a movie about this. I really hope the rumors are true that Mel Gibson's making a miniseries about this. They are dying. Well, now the Ottomans try to press the issue and they decide they're going to try to sail their boats around the back tooth, around the tip of it. They're looking and they're thinking, well, their cannons aren't going to get to us. The Knights had prepared for that too. They had, at sea level, cannons the Ottomans didn't know about. They start to sail the ships around the tooth, and lo and behold, there are Knight cannons waiting for them like a rabbit jumping right into the mouth of a hungry lion. These cannons start smoking the Ottoman ships right out of the water. And remember, reinforcements aren't coming for the Ottomans. As the ships are going down, the troops on the ships are going down with them, and your forces are being depleted, and they're being depleted rapidly. Okay, now I know you're thinking, all is gravy. Looks like the Knights have it. Not at all. This has been a tale of a lot of hardship for the Ottomans, but remember, the Knights only have so much food too. Only have so much ammunition for their rifles, for their cannons. They only have so much water too. Yes, they had tried to provision themselves and they had done very well, but they are in a real pickle. And those Ottoman cannons are still falling, and the Knights' walls are dropping. They are dropping, and they are dropping rapidly, and if the Ottomans get through the walls, well, that's it. The Ottomans start throwing themselves crazily at the walls, and now they're digging a tunnel underneath them. Like I said, the Ottomans are great at this. The Knights, they don't figure out that the Ottomans have tunneled completely underneath their walls until it's almost too late. But they eventually do figure it out. What do? There's really only one thing you can do in that situation. You have to dig down inside of your city. Remember, this is all by hand. And you have to dig a counter tunnel looking for their tunnel under the ground. Ancient technology. They find them. They meet under the walls of the Knights in the dark with muskets and swords and spears. And they have a nasty hand-to-hand combat war in the pitch black. Yeah, people have died in terrible, scary ways, right? A nasty hand-to-hand combat war takes place in the tunnels, and the Knights prevail. The Knights prevail. They cave the whole thing in. Now the Ottomans have no choice but to throw themselves against the walls. Now, many people to this day, they believe that God stepped in repeatedly at different times to save the Knights. Maybe you are skeptical of that. Maybe you believe that. What happens next is one of the main justifications people will use to say, oh my gosh, God saved them. He saved them. I'll tell you what happens next in a moment. Before I do that, you can keep nerding out on history after the Jesse Kelly Show is over tonight. You can nerd out on history anytime you want. You can do it in your car, when you're driving to and fro, when you're sitting at home, when you're bored, when as a family you're looking for something to do. I don't want to play Monopoly again. We always fight. Why don't you take a course from Hillsdale together? You can learn about capitalism together. Learn about Rome together. Learn, I mean, they have art. They have classes on art. The Constitution, the Federalist Papers. Go at least find out what Hillsdale gives you at no cost. This is a service Hillsdale believes in. They want everyone to know these things, so they give it away. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse is where you go. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. Go, enroll, it's free, enjoy. Now let's go find out if God stepped in. Next.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You need to get your questions emailed in, or Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday. You need to get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. The Ottomans are trying to attack from the sea and the land. Jewish producer Chris was unclear on that, so I'm worried I haven't been clear on that. It is mainly a land attack on the peninsulas. They're under the teeth. That's where all the bombardment's coming. That's where the trenches are coming. They're just trying to mix in as much of the ocean as they can while they have the boats. And the knights are crumbling. The wall, I shouldn't say the knights are crumbling. That's probably not fair. The walls are crumbling. They're running out of men. They're running out of food. They're running out of walls. They are hopelessly outnumbered still, even though they've killed legions of these Ottomans. And the Ottomans are smashing the walls. And the Ottomans can taste victory. Pause on that. Remember, I told you there were four locations. Pac-Man's nose, Pac-Man's two teeth, and then Mdina. Pac-Man's tonsils. It's not necessarily exactly there, but you get what I'm saying. It's inland a little bit. Mdina. Well, Mdina is aware. They have a very, very tiny force there. Mdina is aware that the two teeth are in dire straits. And if those fortifications fall, it's over. The island will be taken. It's over. So they decide to send out a reconnaissance unit. Not a big unit, not a massive force. They're just going out to sniff around. Where are the Ottoman forces? What's the camp look like? Let's try to get word to this or that. Before I get to any of that, I do have to clarify how much hatred there is between these sides, because this part is important. Remember I told you that Fort St. Elmo fell? Remember I told you that earlier, many, many years earlier, when Rhodes fell, Suleiman the Magnificent had let the knights go, and he was angry that they were now fighting him? When Fort St. Elmo fell, the Ottomans took the few knights who were left alive. They chopped off their heads. They disemboweled them, desecrating the corpses. Then, as an insult to Christianity, they nailed them to crosses without heads and without guts. And then they floated them across the water back to the other forts. This is a military order. What's that feel like if you're standing on the fort and you see the headless, gutless corpse of your friend with a little religious insult on top of it floating at you? Yeah, the knights didn't take it well. How not well did they take it? They took all the Ottoman prisoners they had, or a bunch of them. I heard all and I heard a bunch. I don't know which is true. And they chopped their heads off and they loaded their heads into the knights' cannons and they started firing the heads of the captured Ottoman prisoners back towards the Ottoman lines. This is the degree of hatred we're dealing with, and I saved that little story so you can understand what is at stake as the Ottomans are now knocking down the walls of what are essentially the last two fortifications. You with me? This is hand to hand. Dave Alette, who is the leader, is not hiding out in his command post. He is crossing swords with Ottomans on the walls, bloody, nasty, screaming, horrible, hand to hand, cannons. It's as bad as you can imagine. Back to Emdina, back to the recon force. This force rides out just sniffing around. And by God's providence, by accident, I don't know what you want to say. I wasn't there and I haven't asked God about it. They come across a gold mine. They come across the relatively undefended Ottoman camp. The camp where the cooks are, where the wounded are being treated, where all their supplies are. The recon unit, by accident, stumbles into the Ottoman camp and they promptly start slaughtering everyone in the camp and then burning everything down on fire. Remember, at this exact moment, the Ottomans are plowing through the walls, getting ready to win the entire island. They turn around and their camp is on fire. They freak out, call out the attack, which you would, and go charging back toward the camp. This is happening in the matter of an hour. People say minutes. It depends on what you believe. Minutes away from Malta falling. They ride back towards the camp. The recon unit gets out. It is a horrible, horrible thing. The Ottomans now, they're probably completely defeated. They've lost another 4,000 to 6,000, but they don't feel like they can just quit. They have to try something else, anything else. So they ride towards Emdina, Pac-Man's tonsils. Emdina is, to say lightly defended would be putting it mildly. There's almost no one there. They have almost no cannonballs. So they take everyone they do have, including defenseless civilians. They stand them on the walls and dress them up like soldiers. And then they take the few cannonballs they have and they shoot them at the Ottoman force when the Ottomans are out of range. Why? They want the Ottomans to think they're loaded with cannonballs. We have so many, we'll shoot them at you before you even get close enough. The Ottomans, by now, their spirit is broken. They get shot at from out of range. They see all these air fingers, quote, troops on top of Emdina, and they say, screw this. We're leaving. They start marching back towards the other two teeth. I will wrap this up. It'll probably take me 5 minutes, and then we'll get back to politics in just a moment. But for all intents and purposes, the siege of Malta is pretty much broken. It's mop-up time now. Before we mop up, let's do a little bit of good. Let's not forget about the widows and orphans. We just had, I am sure you saw, another cop ambushed. Ambushed in a courthouse. It's terrible. Who cares for these families when cops die in the line of duty? When firefighters die in the line of duty? How do you even pick it up and move on? Tunnel to Towers has been standing alongside these families for over two decades. Remember they built them an entire community in Florida so they could live together? They're paying off mortgages for them. Real, genuine care of widows and orphans as we are commanded to do. $11 a month from you is all they've ever asked for. Donate to Tunnel the Towers. Give it automatically. You never know it's gone. T2T.org. T2T.org. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.